You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Hockey Show. My name is Roy Bellamy. That's David Drucker of The Hockey News. We have Dennis Bernstein from the Fourth Period and SiriusXM NHL Radio coming up in the next segment to talk about the NHL playoffs. But first, we talk about the Florida Panthers. They are leading 3-0 against the Tampa Bay Lightning in the first round. I had them in five. I did not expect this to happen, them potentially sweeping. I thought that Andrei Vasilevskiy was still one, but doesn't seem like that's
going
to happen.
No, he still might, but, man, I thought this series was going at least six, maybe seven. These teams hate each other. They're pretty evenly matched, as we've seen in the first three games. I think it just kind of comes down to the Panthers are deeper. Panthers are more skilled. The goaltending has been equal. The special teams has been – it was equal heading into game three. Now it's a little bit more Panthers-leaning, which is big. And yeah, the Panthers, they might sweep Tampa Bay, which would be very poetic, I think, for a lot of people in South Florida.
The other big thing is – Tampa has been trying to goad the Panthers into these post-whistle scrums. The Panthers are not having any of that. The only time you ever seen them actually start something is when Sergei Bobrovsky has been accosted.
Yes.
That's it.
And I love that, by the way. I love that. There's no letting that happen. Every time he gets poked, every time someone charges the net a little bit too late, they're all over it. I feel like that's something that, not necessarily with this specific Panthers team, but Panthers teams in years past, I have not liked that they don't get the goal. And, you know, obviously I'm a little biased as a goaltender, but I love that they're doing that. And I love that they're not getting goaded into anything else. Yeah. And they're just very business as usual. Like, we're here for a job. We're going to do it. I think that's really what you're going to ask for from your Panthers team in the playoffs right now.
All right. So as far as discipline, the Panthers have been excelling in that. I mean, game three put aside there. But, yeah, they've been staying out of the penalty box. And Tampa really hasn't come through all that much in their power play. So that's good. Let's start with game one. The Panthers won 3-2. And Alexander Barkov was excellent in that game. He provided two assists, including a highlight assist of Carter Verhaeghe for his goal. Yeah. So, yeah, that ended up being a good game. They were stout defensively, and they ended up winning.
That play to Carter Verhaeghe was so nice because Verhaeghe started it at the blue line. He got it to Barkov on the boards. Barkov watched Verhaeghe as he just shot down the other side of the ice and waited for him. The lane opened up. It was gorgeous. Barkov is definitely on point right now.
Yeah, it was just a nice play there. That's what happened. I mean, that's a play they obviously practiced.
Yeah, well, you can tell. These are guys that have been playing on the same line together for a while. Like, they know each other. They know where they're going to go. That's something that they've been working on. Yeah, it's beautiful to see.
Yeah, it was beautiful to see the entire game. Matthew Tkachuk's empty net goal was the game winner because, again, I mean, Paul Maurice said that he was fine with that cross check.
You weren't.
But I wasn't.
You were not.
That was just a wasted penalty that shouldn't have been called.
Well, it went against the grain of how they had been calling that entire game one. Like, okay, they called it a little tighter in the first period, fine. They opened it up in the second. They let everything go in the third. And then all of a sudden you're going to call that when it's already a two-goal game, it's over. And it wasn't even like one of those obvious penalties that you have to call. So I'm with you on that.
It almost seemed like they were playing up to the casinos in that one, right?
I'm not going to comment on that, but I will say that it wasn't kind of nice and very expected for Paul Maurice. He, to be so diplomatic about it. He's gotten so good at that.
Yeah, well, just doesn't want to get fined.
I wouldn't either.
I mean, they probably had like a Paul Maurice role after what happened the season before.
No, there's definitely like a swear jar with Paul Maurice's face on it somewhere.
Yeah, that's going towards the team dinner. Game two, the Panthers won in overtime 3-2. And that one's pretty exciting. I can tell you right this, based on all three games, the Panthers have basically won the first 5 minutes and subsequently won the entire period in all three of these games.
Yeah, well, the starts have been big. The starts have been really big for the Panthers, and that's kind of what was the key to Game 3, I think, because they got off to a really good start. They were able to once again get the lead. They've gotten the lead every game in the series. But yeah, Game 2 is interesting because Tampa really put their foot down in terms of in the defensive zone, literally putting their foot down, keeping the exits strong, getting their entries, getting their flow, and that was why they were able to generate a bit more offensive opportunities than they did in Game 1. But ultimately, once again, you saw the goaltenders stepping up and the Panthers coming through again in overtime.
The first period, we saw Sam Bennett get hit with a slap shot in the hand by, I believe it was Brandon Montour's slap shot there.
Yep.
And he did not return. He ended up missing Game 3. In the second period, the Tampa Bay Lightning ended up making adjustments, and they ended up scoring. And possibly the best save I've seen out of all Panthers time, one of the best saves I've ever seen a goaltender make was Sergei Bobrovsky's save on Matt Dumba on his backhand.
Like, I'm quickly scanning my memory banks for Panthers saves over the years. Like, I'm Luongo Statue of Liberty glove saves are flashing through. Van Beesbrook, I think, on Valerie Kamensky in Game 4 overtime in the final. No, it was on Ozolinch. Stanis Ozolinch. Oh, yeah. I can hear Gary Thorne in my head. Ozolinch for the Cup, save him. Anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was probably the best save in Panthers history, I think. Unreal. We made the rounds on social media. Paul Maurice was talking. Everybody was talking about it after the game. Game-saving, too, because Tampa would have taken the lead there.
Yeah, and in the third period, it was back and forth, and then they went into overtime, and Connor Verhaeghe.
Mr. Clutch.
Yeah, his fifth overtime goal of his playoff career.
In 14 overtime games, though.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane.
Yeah, 47 total playoff games.
Yeah.
He's tied for third most now with Glenn Anderson. That's an 80s name that you got to pick off the floor right there.
That's a playoff guy right there.
Yep, Patrick Kane and Corey Perry. So only two are in front of him. Joe Sakic and Maurice Richard. So he's clutch.
Unbelievable.
Mr. Overtime.
And speaking of overtime, 11 straight overtime playoff wins for the Panthers dating back, I think, three playoffs now to Ryan Lombard scoring in Tampa, the overtime winner. And I think that was 2022 series, but whatever it was.
Yeah, that's the one that went six.
They haven't lost a playoff game since Trocheck was tripped in 2016. That was the last overtime playoff game that they lost. They've won 11 in a row since, three off the record set by Montreal in the mid-90s. That's insane.
It is insane. And that game should not have gone to overtime, by the way, because, again, Vincent Trocheck was tripped. But, yo, that's neither here or there. That's in past history that I will never forget. I will always bring it up whenever that happens. Game three... That happened the night before. The Panthers won 5-3 in Tampa, which puts us in this situation where they can end up sweeping on Saturday. Now, they had a reconfigured lineup because of Bennett not being in there. Steven Lawrence took over Kevin Steenland's spot on the fourth line. Kevin Steenland went up to the third line, and Anton Bennett took over Sam Bennett's spot. Proved dividends in the first period.
I think Anton Lundell has been really the story, the quiet story for the Panthers so far in the playoffs. Even before Sam Bennett went out, Lundell was playing great on that third line. He was looking good on the second power play. And with Bennett out, you talked about not just Lundell moving up to the second line and not skipping a beat between Verhaeghe and Tkachuk, but Kevin Stenland moving up to the third line and that line maintaining its ability to maintain zone possession and zone time. And the fourth line, Steven Lorenz stepping into the middle. He barely played. I think he played four games from late December to late March. Mm-hmm. And now he comes in, looks like he's been playing all season, fits in perfectly with what they've been doing. And, yeah, that fourth line last night, Kyle Okposo, his first playoff game since that 2016 year. They were on the Islanders team that beat the Panthers. But just unreal. And this is what we've talked about. We've talked about it a lot, Roy, is the depth on this team and how big of a strength it is for the Panthers. And now it's showing. You lose Sam Bennett. I would have told you, heading into the playoffs, there are two guys on the team who I think are crucial that you cannot lose, and that's Barkov and that's Bennett, because they center two big lines. You take them out, it really messes with the depth of the forwards, and it's also special teams. But as we saw yesterday in Tampa, when you could expect Tampa's best shot, they did not want to go down 0-3, which they did. Florida took Tampa's best shot. They got up off the mat, and then they took them out. Very impressive.
You take Bennett out of the lineup, you lose a lot of your forechecking, especially on that second line, which is a lot of grit. And it seemed like the Panthers really got through it, especially with that wave that the Lightning ended up pushing in the second period.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good job by them. That first goal for Matthew Tkachuk, they failed to clear, and there were a couple of times where the Lightning failed to clear, and they paid dearly for it, and it led to a very good play. Short little forecheck, nice behind the net play from Anton Lundell, and he found Matthew Tkachuk.
It was cool. I was watching back the goals last night, and what I noticed on that goal and on Reinhardt's goal was the primary assist. Tkachuk was from Lundell. Reinhardt was from Tarasenko. Both of those passes, they were looking the other way.
Mm.
Both of the guys that passed it were looking this way. They passed it that way. I think that's so just the little things that nobody talks about. But that's what opens up the passing lanes. That's what helps get these things going.
A little misdirection.
Oh, it's just gorgeous. And to see it happening on different levels, on different lines with guys who have not played together a whole lot, whether it's Tarasenko on that line or whether it's Lundell on the second line, I don't know. I just feel like I'm running out of superlatives right now for the Panthers.
I want to get back to the start of that second period. In fact, the start of the game, actually, because the Panthers did get into a bit of penalty trouble. The Gustav Forsling penalty was not a penalty. I don't care what anybody says. That was not interference. Not at all. But the start of the second period, that was all Lightning. It felt like the entire crowd. It felt like all 18 of the guys on the bench.
Yeah.
And it felt like the refs and the linesmen were all against the Panthers, all screening Sergei Bobrovsky in front of the goal. All of them. Everybody. All 19,000 people were on the
ice.
That's
what it takes, right?
Yeah, that's what it takes.
But I thought that was really the beginning of what I was expecting to be Tampa's comeback in the series. They're going to make it a series. They're going to make life out of it. They sweat two goals in like 2 minutes, 12 seconds, or whatever it was, to take their first lead of the series. We've been there before. We've been in that building before. Like, that felt very familiar. And for the Panthers to really weather that storm, that goal by Sam Reinhart, that laser of a snipe of a shot, another play where
clapper.
There was a nice screen in front.
Yeah.
That changed the momentum in a way that the Panthers have not been able to do traditionally over the years in big moments. And now we saw it a lot last year in the playoffs, and we're seeing them pick up right where they left off last year. Man, it's unprecedented. And to think that the Panthers could sweep Tampa Bay in their own building, how poetic. How just cathartic would that be for a fan base that has been suffering as long as the Panthers have, and to watch their neighbors to the north win three Stanley Cups?
Mm.
So, yeah, big game on Saturday coming up.
Three unanswered goals by the Panthers in that little stretch there. And the Panthers shut down that vaunted Lightning power play.
Yes.
All four of those power plays done. And Kevin Stenlin, by himself on one power play, with his own stick, ended up knocking the puck out of his zone, one of which led to a shorthanded chance. So Kevin Stanley on the penalty kill has been excellent.
Is that maybe the signing of the offseason for the Panthers? We didn't really talk a lot about it at the time. You know, they brought in OEL, they got Mikkola. Kevin Stenlund, they brought him in specifically to fix the PK.
Mm-hmm.
His Fortis penalty kill was not, you know, average maybe, but struggled during the playoffs. It was certainly an area. And you remember that Boston series, it felt like every time that Boston was coming back, they got a power play goal. Stenlund has really fortified that unit and turned it into one of the best in the league. They finished, I think, sixth in the NHL, but they're flexing their muscles this season. They gave up the one goal to Stamkos in game one in the final minute. You almost don't even want to count that as well. You don't give them that as a power play goal. Stamkos scored the one power play goal in game two, and that's it. So I think mm-hmm. they're, what, 2-for-12 now?
Yeah.
That's really good. For the number one power play in the league, Florida's winning the special teams battle in this series, and that's why they're up 3-0.
So we are in our situation right now. The Panthers became the first Stanley Cup finalists from the previous season to start the next postseason with three straight wins since the 84 Oilers.
Wow.
And the 9-4.
That 84 Oilers team, I'm pretty sure that it ended pretty well for them, too.
Yeah. And the 9-4 on the road over the past two Stanley Cup playoffs. So good for them. They've done excellent so far.
They were one of the best road teams in the league during the regular season, so it's not surprising to see that continue in the playoffs. And also, dating back to last year, the Panthers, Roy, have dominated the Eastern Conference in mm-hmm. the playoffs. Because last year, where they go 12-4 mm-hmm. in the three rounds,
yeah.
So now they're 3-0, so 15-4 over the last two seasons against the Eastern Conference. That's pretty, pretty good.
All right, we got Dennis Bernstein from the fourth period and Sirius XM NHL
Love
Radio.
Dennis.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the entire NHL playoffs That's coming up next. All right, joining us right now is Dennis Bernstein from the Fourth Period. You can catch him on Sirius XM NHL Radio. We're going to get started right now on the entire playoff landscape. Let's start with the Bruins and Maple Leafs. William Nylander. Now, we don't know what's going on with him. There's a lot of rumors and everything right now. Mm-hmm. He might be hurt. He might be in the doghouse. I really don't know. What do you know, Dennis?
I think it's an injury, and I think it's a head injury. And if I say it's a head injury, Belly, then you can figure out what the type of head injury it is. Mm. I think it's a legitimate injury of keeping him off the ice, and that's why he can go out and skate on the ice and, you know, goes out. And if he has, you know, they check the recovery after he gets off the ice for a couple hours and he can't go. So I think that that's the situation with the thing. I don't think it's anything nefarious. I don't think he did anything wrong or he's being punished or anything like that. I think it's a legitimate injury. And if that's the type of injury it is, you know, Belly and Dworkin, then you don't know. You don't know how long he's going to be back. They certainly need him because every time you think this team climbs over the hill against the Bruins, they fall like the other night. And what's it? They haven't scored more than 3 goals in 10 playoff games or something like that. So when you're suffering offensively and 100-point players out of the lineup, the result is they're down 2-1 and they're having issues scoring.
The other rumor is that he got hurt during the game versus the Panthers. If the team knew that he got hurt versus the Panthers, why did he play game 82?
That's a good question. That's probably only Paul Maurice and Bill Zito and the training staff can play. Maybe it wasn't diagnosed, but you know, Billy, sometimes what happens, you get hit in the head and it, you know, the effects of it don't come out for a couple of days or something like that. Like, I'm all for resting. You know, look, guys, there's no such thing as load management in the NHL, and there should be. There should be, because you know why? Players want to play.
Yeah. Mm.
They don't want to sit out. If they're healthy, they don't want to play. So, yeah, you can question. There's some questionable reasons why guys down the stretch should have never played. Like Aiden Hill, I think, played late in the season when it didn't mean anything. So why do you do that? So I can't question him because I don't know the timing of it. But if it is, let's say it is a concussion, sometimes those things don't come to light for a couple of days. And sometimes players try to play through without telling the training staff or the team.
Dennis, I want to talk to you about the series that I know you're covering very closely, and that's the Kings and the Oilers. Super fun so far. Obviously, Game 2 was awesome, particularly if you're a Kings fan. Adrian Kempe, some really pretty goals. Your take on the series, because this is year 3 that we're getting Kings-Oilers. Is Los Angeles finally going to get over the hump this year? Does it look like in Game 2 that they can absolutely do that?
Well, Dworky, one of the most intriguing things was it was warmer in Edmonton than Los Angeles when I was there.
No,
I just came back
way.
From Kings 1 and 2. It was 65 degrees, but you know, Alberta being Alberta, it was 30 mile an hour winds, so it wasn't really 65. Yeah, Dworky, they got a puncher's chance, and here's why. I'll say this: big picture, the Oilers are not winning a Stanley Cup with Stuart Skinner. They're just not. No. He's not good enough. I think his save percentage against the Kings going back to last season and this in the playoffs. It's like .870. He's just not good. It's just not good enough. Like the fourth goal that Fiala scored against the boards, I mean, he just threw the puck at that. It went in. I know it's a little bit of a screen. I'm just not convinced. The way the Kings can win, their path to victory is through the goal, through Stuart Skinner. Because like, I don't know, guys, but they can't figure out how to stop that power play. And they're, I think, 50% going back to last playoff. And look, they don't do that against any other team, but this team, they just crush it. So it's going to be a long, contentious series, Dworky, just like the other ones. I picked the Oilers in 6. Would it shock me if the Kings won? No, because when I watched Skinner play in net, you can't be confident. And what they did in Game 2 was they showed the Oilers too much respect in Game 1. Like, they backed off. They never set up that 1-3-1. They were more aggressive on their forecheck. And you saw even on the first goal, Evan Bouchard turns over the puck. It's in the back of the net. And Kempe's an oil killer. He does great against them. The first goal was a really nice shot. That second one was beautiful.
A nice deflection.
Yeah. But we've been here before, Dworky. Like, we're here like every time. Game 3 in L.A., the last two series was 1-1. So although the Oilers have great offense and Connor's amazing, in the first game, you know, Zach Hyman's having a wonderful year, there's not much to separate teams. There's just their styles are so different.
Yeah.
That's why when you look at an offensive team, you think, okay, especially after game 1, they're going to walk through. But the Kings check for their chances and get some saves from Cam Talbot like he did on Leon Draisaitl in the late second period. They got a puncher's chance to win the series, but rightfully so, the Edmonton Oilers should still be favored.
In the Stars Golden Knights series right now, the Golden Knights are up 2-0. They are majority healthy right now. I mean, they basically got everybody back. You mentioned Aiden Hill. He might be a little bit nicked up, but that's about it. But Are the Dallas Stars in full-fledged trouble right now?
Yeah, because, look, Belly, I picked them to go to the Cup Final. Love the team. Jim Nohl's done an amazing job building that roster. An amazing job. Like, Wyatt Johnson, 33 goals. He's their third-line center. Like, it's the only team in the league that's like that. I love him, except for one thing. I was worried about one thing. Jake Ottinger. Again, goaltending. Mm-hmm. Like, Jake was sub-900 in the playoffs, sub-900 this season, and now those four goals in game one, I'm sorry, he's just not good enough, and that's the issue, that's the problem. And you're right, my point, when people ask me about Vegas, I'm like, well, which team is going on the ice? What actual players are going to hit the ice for game one? And it was funny, I was in the press box at Edmonton, and I'm like walking around pregame, and it's the late starting game, and I go up to the go, you never guess who would have scored the first goal for Dallas. For Vegas in Dallas, 1 minute 23 seconds into the game. Some guys knew, other guys didn't. And I said, Mark Stone. And everybody starts laughing as soon as I say that. I go, of course he did.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, Billy, how this team has gone from like darlings when they first came in. Now, without question, they're the most hated team. Dallas is in big trouble. They really are. They can't beat this team. They didn't beat them last year in the conference final. I liked them. I picked them. They were a healthier team. But Vegas, you know what? That's the one team that didn't care where they finished, guys. Like 8-7, win the division. Who cares? Get us in the tournament and let's go. So they look a lot. I'll tell you, on paper, when you look at the lineup, it's better than the one that won a championship because they have Hurdle. They have Hanifin. It's a very dangerous team. And yes, Dallas is in big trouble. This has to be their game seven, the game three. They have to win that game or the Vegas Golden Knights are going on.
So every game has to be game seven for them.
Yeah, well, the next one does. Like, if they go down 3-0, it's over. 2-1, maybe a shot, but yeah, it's a little bit of edge. But mentally, right, you know, you were the favorite. You're going in. You had home ice. You blew those two games. This has to be a desperate Dallas Stars team, and I'm not sure that, like, they're desperate. That's the whole thing, because their mentality was we were the number one seed, and we should not walk through Vegas. Nobody was going to walk through Vegas, but they didn't do enough. So, yeah, there's just not enough desperation in Dallas right now to win those games, and now they're going to go to Vegas, and that crowd's going to be nuts. It's going to be a major task for them to get back in the series now, despite how good they are. I really think they are.
Yeah, I think Dallas's main shot is the only really question mark Vegas has is their goaltending. Like, Aiden Hill was unbelievable last year. He went on that ridiculous run, but really that was out of nowhere. Logan Thompson is a bit unproven as well. So I think that might be the Stars' main solace there, Dennis. But I want to switch gears and talk about the Eastern Conference now. I want to talk a little bit about the Panthers and the Lightning. For a 3-0 series, Dennis, it's been a great, great three games. Yeah. Tight hockey, amazing goaltending. What have your thoughts been on it so far?
Dorky, I want to know who's recording all the hits in the NHL this year. Like in the playoffs. Like, those numbers are like really. Like game one for the Kings, it was 65 hits. I'm like, I don't think they hit the Oilers 65 times. Look, here's the thing. I thought, and it still could be, I thought that this series was a blood series. Like, it was going to go seven. Yeah. And the team that came out of it was going to be really all banged up. And, you know, the next round would have been really a tough struggle. And you're right. The games have been close. They've been contentious. They've been entertaining. They've been dramatic. But the Panthers are going to win game four. They're going to have three games where they wouldn't have the big going up against their, you know, interstate cousins. So that's a huge advantage for them. Because when you think about series matchups, you think, wow, that's going to be really tough. You know, you guys know the teams really hate each other. So for them to get out of 3-0 lead, I'm not sure. I know one guy that's not going to quit. John Cooper. He is fantastic. The way his attitude, his bench interviews. And the question is, how many guys on Tampa are going to show up for four? Because they're not winning in the series now. Like, how are they going to go out? They're going to go out meekly. You know, Stammer's got a contract to worry about, so it's going to be really, really interesting. But if the Panthers, let's say they even give Lightning game four, if they can get out in five and not have to play more stressful games, it really is going to help them in the second round and possibly beyond.
The two playoff series coming out of Metro seem to be over, right, DB?
Yeah. Yeah, they're done. They were done before they started, though.
Yeah.
Like, I thought, look, Caps, I maybe gave them one game, Roy, because maybe Charlie Lund stands up and has a great game in D.C. or Ovi gets a hat trick or something like that, but they were overmatched. And the Islanders, I picked the Carolina to win the Cup. And what's going on with the goaltending with Patrick Waugh, you got an $8 million goaltender. And I know he hasn't been great, right? I know Varlamov's been better. But now there's going to be certainly, you know, some concern about who's really the guy there. So, yeah, the Islanders are going to win maybe one, two games. They're a pesky team. They were playing great down the stretch. But let's be real. The Rangers and the Carolina Hurricanes were the class of the Metro. So I'm not shocked that they're short series because they were the far better teams pound for pound.
As far as the Rangers-Capitals series, is it is this it for Ovi? Is Alexander Ovechkin, does he have enough gas in the tank to at least go one more season and try to break Wayne Gretzky's goal record?
Billy, he signed that contract, I think it's a 3-year extension. He signed it to break the record. The owner, Ted Leonsis, loves him. He's not going anywhere. He'll keep playing. And the good thing about it is, because when you watch that, look at that team on paper, Belly, start of the season, it's like, how long is it going to take for Alex to get that record? Because the team isn't any good around him. Backstrom got hurt, basically retired. You know, you have guys like McMichael and Strunk, and they really facilitate goals. And then he got really hot at the end of the season. So, Belly, he will play until he breaks the record. I don't think it'll be next season, probably early. Probably like maybe Christmas of 2026 or something like that. But Belly, he's playing until he breaks the record. And I think the way he finished the season tells you it's probably going to be sooner than a little bit later.
So Dennis, out west, is Vancouver done? Thatcher Demko's hurt. We don't know exactly what's happening with him. I thought Nashville was going to give them a hard time heading into the series when they were healthy. But now I'm thinking Nashville, they've almost got kind of a path laid out for them to round two. Is Vancouver seriously in trouble here?
They are. And, you know, now there's a huge advantage in net for Nashville, right? And I watched Vancouver down the stretch, and they were like a 500 team, primarily because Casey DeSmith was in net, not Thatcher Demko. And I picked Vancouver to win the series because of Thatcher Demko. And now he's out. He won't play till round two if they get there. Yeah, they're in a lot of trouble. And that's a big physical team that Nashville has. They're not the most talented. But you know something? You guys know this. When's Bruno going to get some credit for being a great coach? He did it in Florida. He did it with this team. They play very, very well. They're tight. And look at that lineup, Dworky. They had Colton Sissons as a second-line center. And, it's when you look at Luke Evangelista, the guys that, like, you don't even know, you know, who's number 40? Who's Stastny? Now, is it Peter Stastny's son? Like, it's a great coaching job. And, yeah, I expect – and here's the wild thing. Here's why we love the playoffs. The two wild cards are moving on in the West.
Yes.
That's how great this sport is. That's how much parity there is. So when you talk about seeding and all this other thing and wild card and, you know, getting to the third in a division, you know, it doesn't matter. It's so great.
Last matchup here, the Jets and Avalanche. That seems to be going seven, do you think?
Yeah. I'm still waiting for a save in that series from someone.
Yes, right? What happened to Connor
Hellebuck? That's the thing about – yeah, if you're Colorado after the first thing, you're saying, we just beat Hellebuck six times and didn't win the game. Right. And this was supposed to be the matchup, guys, of the best goaltender in the playoffs against the worst. And now it's kind of like the two bad goaltenders. I don't know what's going on. Yeah, this looks like seven because Colorado's got so much offense. And now you can't really rely on Hellebuck to win you a game. You figure maybe one, two games. And I like them coming in because they were a hotter team. And Colorado was so bad defensively. They were really, really bad defensively down the stretch. But yeah, Roy, this is going seven. It's gonna be really entertaining to see a game seven in Winnipeg. That crowd's gonna be off the chain.
All right. That's the playoffs, folks. We just covered it. That is great. From Sirius XM NHL Radio and the Four Period, Dennis Bernstein, we appreciate you joining us.
Oh, so always a pleasure, boys. And I'll see you at the cup final.
Maybe. I think you will.
Love you, DB.
See you guys.
See you, DB.
Cheers.
Thank you very much.
Dennis.
That was great.
Oh, anytime, man. Anytime, anytime you want me, just ask.
Awesome, oh, yeah.
Man.
You'll be back by the time this thing's in. Okay. So, yeah.
Be good, DB. Take care.
Okay, guys. Take care, boys.
See you.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.